Have you ever noticed the sinner try to sow their wild oats or do their own thing, thinking it was wonderful and fun, but they find themselves wondering why they're depressed, and they might just think, oh man, it was so good back in the days when I was actually walking with the Lord.
Pastor Brett Metter with a lesson of the passing pleasures of sin.
That's the hope, is that they'll come to a place where they'll realize what the Lord's saying about Gomer here, that she'll come to that realization, man, it was better with me then than it is now when I was with Hosea.
Hosea chapter 1 presents a striking portrayal of God's covenant love through the prophet's painful calling to marry Gomer, a woman representing Israel's unfaithfulness. The prophet's family becomes a living message, as well as with the names of each reflecting Israel's sin. Yet through it all, Pastor Brett Metter assures it's the relentless love of God that prevails in today's word.
It says in Hosea chapter 1, verse 6, and she conceived again. That's Gomer here. Now, one thing you need to understand when it says she conceived again, the problem is it's probably not Hosea's daughter. She was married to Hosea. They did have their first son whose name was Jezreel. Jezreel means to scatter, which is what God's gonna do on the fourth generation of Jehu. The northern 10 tribes would be scattered. And they'll be scattered until 1948, by the way. The northern 10 tribes would never regather in that region until 1948. That's kind of an interesting long scattering that we've seen, but we're seeing that change even today. So she conceives, Jezreel and bears that son to Hosea, but now we have another conceiving of a baby, but this is probably not Hosea's, and you'll see why. Verse 6, she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses or by horsemen. So the southern tribes, I'm gonna protect them, not by bows and arrows. How did the Lord protect the southern tribe? Anybody remember from the Assyrians? A giant angel, remember that? The 185,000 people slain, that was Rabshakeh, the trash talker. Remember that whole thing? This is the Lord predicting that before it would happen, that I'm gonna save Judah, and he doesn't say how, but it's not gonna be your typical way. And he saved them with an angel who came and killed all the army of Rabshakeh, if you remember him. He's basically saying, I'm gonna protect Judah, but this daughter of yours, Lo-Ruhamah. What does Lo-Ruhamah mean? Well, Lo means no. In the Hebrew, so no, Ruhamah means mercy or pity. Is that a problem when you get no mercy from God? Yeah, you kind of need that. Like you need to breathe. You gotta have God's mercy or you're toast. And this name that God uses in this story is no mercy, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. This is where the Lord says, I'm lifting my mercy off of you. That's a bad day for those people. So not having obtained mercy. So far we have Jezreel, which means what? To scatter, and we have Lo-Ruhamah, what does her name mean? No mercy, right on, okay. Now we get to the next son number two, child number three, verse 8. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son, and then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Uh-oh, that sounds pretty brutal, doesn't it? You're not my people. Now you say, well, was God rejecting the Jews? It sounds like he's rejecting the Jews. No, you gotta understand what's happening here. The Jews are rejecting God. They're saying, we will not have you be our God. We're gonna have Baal and all these other gods and goddesses. They rejected God. So we got a pretty sad family naming situation here. We got to scatter, we got having no mercy, and Lo-Ami, it means not my people. Not my people, you'll see that there perhaps in your margin. Well, verse 16, it says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. This is interesting because we're starting to sort of change gears here. Did you notice something? Everything was kind of negative up to this point, but suddenly Israel being like the sand of the sea, that's going back to the Abrahamic covenant, where God told Abraham, you'll be numbered like the sand of the sea. You see, verses 10 to the end of this chapter is basically giving us four great promises of God, even though They're not my people. They're not going to have mercy, and they're going to be scattered. This is the Lord saying, but I'm still good. There's four great promises of God here at the end that I think are noteworthy. Number one, Israel will still continue to grow. Even though they're rebellious, Israel will still grow. And we see that in the first part of verse 10. Yet the number of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea and cannot be measured or numbered. That's the first one. Number two, Israel will eventually turn back to God. This is a promise of God. Look at the second part of verse 10. It says there, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. The very place where the Lord's saying, you are not my people, they're eventually gonna turn back to God and they'd be God's people again. This is where people miss that. Thirdly, promise, in verse 11, we see that Israel will be regathered. Verse 11, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. So they're gonna regather. And then finally, number four, Israel will see Jesus as the Messiah. That's the last part of verse 11. They'll be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. That's the Messiah. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Man, don't you love what we see here? These four things are the beautiful promises of God. We kind of are getting the whole story in a nutshell in chapter one, and then we're gonna kind of see the other things kind of go out in sort of a circular spiral sort of way, the ways the Jews often think. Let's see how far chapter two we can get. Now, see if you notice something here in verse one that's a little odd. It says in verse one, say ye to your brethren, Ami, and to your sister, Ruhamah. Now, what's gonna happen? Say to your brother, this is probably speaking of Jezreel, speaking to Lo-Ami and Ruhamah. What's the difference on their names in chapter two? We removed the Lo part on both of those. There was Lo-Ami and Lo-Ruhamah. If you remove the Lo, which means no, suddenly you have mercy and you have God's people. Like, this is a really good thing. This is a step in the right direction. And this is ultimately what God wants to do. He wants to change the names of these sons and daughters of Hosea. And he starts right here in chapter one with this beautiful changing of the names. I love that. The Lord drops the Lo in their names. So he says to Ami and to his sister Ruhamah, plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Now you might say, why would God do that to poor Gomer? The answer, verse 4, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. By the way, the bread and water is kind of your basic sustenance, but the wool and flax and all this other stuff is a luxury item. These are wealthy people's things in Bible times. So she's thinking she's getting ahead by prostituting herself. It's the same mistake we make, thinking that we can sort of get ahead by moving away from God and doing whatever is dishonest and sinful and wrong. But the Lord says, man, that's not the way you're gonna do it. But she thinks she's doing it. So the kids are told, plead for your mother. Say, mom, come back to pop. Your husband's great. But she says, nope, I'm gonna only stay with all my lovers and what have you. This is kind of the situation. Now we have the three therefores of chapter two. You'll see three therefores. Chapter two, verse 6-8 is the first therefore. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but not find them. She shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. The first, therefore, is I'm gonna put a hedge. Now this hedge thing always cracks me up. Remember Job prayed for a hedge of protection around his kids. But a hedge in this case was not to keep the evil one out as much as it was to make it so you know, Gomer doesn't go out and do a bunch of stuff. There's like thorny hedge around where she, hopefully the Lord's just saying, I'm not gonna let you get that far away. You're gonna get far away, but not that far away. I'm gonna put a hedge about her. That's the idea. And you're gonna realize that your lovers are losers. And Hosea is the right one. Did you see what she said? This reminds me of the prodigal as he was sitting in the pig slop and thinking, man, I was better off with my dad. Even my dad's slaves are better than I am. Remember that whole thing with the prodigal? What does she say? She says at the end of verse 7, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Have you ever noticed the sinner? And a lot of you parents have seen this heartbreakingly, where your kids walk away from the Lord. That's a tough one. And maybe you raised them as Christian kids to know the Lord, but they went off to school and met a bunch of other kids that really dragged them off into sinfulness, and now they're doing their own thing. Don't forget, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sometimes our kids do go and try to sow their wild oats or do their own thing. But don't give up, mom and dad. Keep your prayers on for your kids. But one of the things you'll see with this is in that situation, and there's other situations too, but where they sort of realize, man, it was so much better when I was walking with the Lord. But the problem is a lot of people never really realize that. If they just thought about it before they were off doing the party scene and hanging out with all their friends and getting drunk every night and, you know, thinking it was wonderful and fun, but they find themselves living in filth and wondering why they're depressed and why they're not successful in what they want and hope to do. And they might just think, oh man, it was so good back in the days when I was actually walking with the Lord. That's the hope, is that they'll come to a place where they'll realize what the Lord's saying about Gomer here, that she'll come to that realization, man, it was better with me then than it is now when I was with Hosea. So that's the first therefore, verses 6-8. The second therefore is verse 9-13. Therefore, will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all of her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees thereof. She hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Here we have this concept of the Lord saying, I'm gonna allow it to get worse for you so that it hopefully will get better for you. I'm gonna take away all the stuff you think you have with your lovers. I'm gonna make you miserable for the hope of saving you. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we read about, you know, the Corinthian church that was totally getting into all kind of sinful stuff. And Paul has this one dude who's sitting in the church, and he says, listen, you need to deliver that dude unto Satan. Huh? Deliver him to Satan? Yeah, what was the purpose of that? Anybody remember? For the destruction of the flesh. Deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. There's a church discipline that you're supposed to use. According to 1 Corinthians, when a person just is saying, I don't wanna do that, and I'm not gonna follow God, and I'm gonna go my own way, there's a point where we see God doing it here with, you know, Gomer. I'm gonna take away all your blessings. You parents have had to do this. Some of you, you know, you're giving your kids a car and paying their insurance and, you know, paying for college. But as they sort of went and squandered into sin, you couldn't just sit by and keep sending money and feeding that. And it's one of those painful, hard decisions a parent has to make, but there's a point where you can't just enable them to keep doing their sinful thing. That's what God's doing here with Gomer. Now there's a play on words, there's many that's in this book, but I'm gonna show you a funny one here in verse 11, where it says, I will also cause all her mirth, that's joy and gladness, to cease, her feast days and her new moons and her Sabbaths and all her solemn feasts. This is an example, and if you read it in Hebrew, it's got a rhyme to it, a Homer with Gomer. And you say, that's a play on words. Yeah, that's exactly what this book does, except in the Hebrew. By the way, Homer and Gomer are both Hebrew words. But here, the interesting word there is talking about the Sabbaths, but anybody know what the Hebrew word for cease is? The word is Sabbath. It's actually more Shabbath. But it's like he's saying, you're gonna lose your Shabbath and your Shabbath. It's like a play on words. And this is the kind of stuff this book does. I will cause also her mirth to Shabbath or cease, and her feast days, and her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and her solemn feasts. That's the kind of stuff he does with the Hebrew language that we sort of miss here. So the second, therefore, is basically the Lord pulling all the blessing away, realizing that her lovers aren't delivering and that things aren't as good apart from God. And that brings us to the third, therefore, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her vineyards and from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. The third, therefore, is the really cool therefore in this particular story. I love the three therefores, but this last one is, I'm gonna bless you. Once you get out of your despair and your pig pen like the prodigal, when you come back, man, I'm gonna allure you, try to woo you back away from your sinful life, and I'm gonna give you real vineyards, and I'm gonna give you the door of hope. This is what God does with us. In verse 16, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. Now, what's this all about? You know, the word Baal means my Lord and my Master, which is really a pagan word for the worshiping of Baal. And he's saying, instead of worshiping Baal and calling Baal your Lord and Master, what's the word Ishi? Your margin probably reads. Does anybody know what Ishi stands for? Husband. You shall call me your husband. This is what Israel will do. This is what, you know, Gomer's gonna do. She's gonna come back and call Hosea her husband once again, even though she refused to call him that earlier. This is the relationship that we see here with Baal. You know, she's gonna leave Baal and go to back to her husband. Verse 17, for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day, now this should be a signal. When we start seeing these words like in that day, remember the latter days, we'll see that too. That's coming up, I think, in chapter 3. But in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven and with creeping things of the ground. What does the creeping things of the ground and the beasts of the fields have to do with that day? Now, those of you that are good with the signaling that the Lord's giving us here by saying in that day, does anybody want to take a guess what day we're talking about? The day of the Lord, the Lord's day, when the Lord comes and sets everything right. Now we're fast forwarding into the millennial kingdom, and I'll show you what I mean here as we get further. But one of the things that's gonna happen is the Lord says, in that day, I will make a covenant with them of the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven. Does anybody remember, what does the Bible say about wild animals in the millennial kingdom? Yeah, the lion will lie down with the lamb. Now that happens today too, only the lamb is inside the lion. If you've seen, you know, the various nature shows and stuff. But there's coming a day where all of nature will be reconciled. Some of you, if you've seen, you know, some of these horrific instances where, you know, these hyenas will come and like eat up the little calf of a African beast. And like, it's like really scary, horrible, grotesque stuff. It's kind of a sad thing, but it's nature in its fallen, grotesque state. But when the kingdom comes, the Lord's gonna make all those things right again. And the little child will play with the deadly snake. That's gonna be different. That's what's being talked about here. In that day, I'll make a covenant with them of the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, with the creeping things of the ground, that's the snakes. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Wow. Now he's saying, Israel, even though you've prostituted yourself, I'm gonna take you in again. I'm gonna betroth you unto myself forever. Yea, I will betroth thee to me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Do you see why these people that say God will never go back to the Jews and save the Jews, this anti-Semitic really kind of theology of replacement theology, it just so much doesn't match up with scripture. The reason I say that is because a lot of these people that believe in replacement theology, they don't teach through the Bible. And so they don't read stories like Hosea, and they think it's just a story about a guy and a prostitute and whatever. No, this is God saying, I'm gonna take Gomer back, and Hosea, you're gonna take Gomer back just like I'm gonna take Israel back. And now he's talking millennial kingdom. I'm gonna take you back for how long? Forever. the everlasting covenant God made with the Jews, and he doesn't go back on his promise here. So I will betroth thee, even in faithfulness, verse 20, and thou shalt know the Lord. And, verse 21, it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the vine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. Now, verse 23, we're gonna see all three kids. Remember, Jezreel meant what? To scatter. And then Lo Ruhamah, what did Lo Ruhamah mean? No mercy. And Lo-Ami, not my people. Check out verse 23. I love this. This is the Lord just packaging it up with a nice bow on top. It says in verse 23, and I will sow, mark that word, sow her unto me in the earth. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which are not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Don't you love this? These names of the kids, the Lord just totally says, I'm gonna swap all that out. I'm gonna swap it out. Well, Brett, I see Lo Ruhamah and I see Lo Ami, you know, because it says right there, I will say to them, which are not my people, they're my people. That's Ami. And I see, you know, this Ruhamah there where it says, I will have mercy upon her. But where is Jezreel in verse 23? Actually, it's the word so. Because the word scatter can mean to scatter like scattering the Jews all over the world, but it also can mean to scatter seed like a sower of seed. I love the redemptive way God works, that he's gonna take and scatter Israel, which he did, but he's gonna plant Israel, and he's gonna sow Israel, and they're gonna bring forth good fruit. And that's what we're watching, that's what we're witnessing right now. I love the way this whole narrative kind of shakes out, and you just see the Lord in his love and his mercy there in verse 23. I think verse 23 is one of the more beautiful expressions in the Bible. Yeah, but you kind of have to know the chapter 1 and chapter 2 to really appreciate verse 23, especially the kids' names. And we're gonna see that and more as we continue our study through the book of Hosea.
Pastor Brett Metter indicating there's much more of the grace of God to come in our verse-by-verse study series of the prophet Hosea on Today's Word. But before we go, Pastor Brett wants to close with a word of prayer in just a moment, so I hope you'll stick around for that. Today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. Our vision is to proclaim the hope of salvation and help people know Jesus, their Savior, through careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. If you've missed any portion of this study, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. I also want to mention that in addition to the main Athey Creek campus in West Lynn, we also have locations in Hillsboro and McMinnville, Oregon. For more information, go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link Locations. Again, todayswordradio.com and click the link Locations. Well, with our remaining time, here once again is Pastor Brett Metter to close today's message.
Let's pray together. Lord, how thankful we are for your mercy and your goodness. Lord, we can relate to this story of the Jews and Hosea and Gomer because, Lord, we too have gone our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, but you've laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You were wounded for our transgressions, Lord, and you took our sin and you dealt perfectly with it. And Lord, I'm thankful that you no longer call us Lo-Ami. You don't call us Lo-Ruhamah, but you call us your people and we're called your children. That's by your grace, Lord. We're so thankful for that. And we do have mercy, and your mercy, Lord, endures forever. Oh, as we study the book of Hosea, may we just really just bask in your mercy and your grace. Lord, just come to even a greater appreciation of the beautiful work you've done, not only for the Jews and what you're going to do, but for your church, what you've done, saving us by your grace through faith. How thankful we are. So now, Lord, take this seed of your word and may it be planted in fertile soil and bring forth good fruit. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter on Today's Word. And that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett will share another verse-by-verse study in the book of Hosea. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.